When you want to feel plugged into the community, keep it on Kello. News Talk 1320, 107.9, and Kello.com.
Entering the business zone of Kello News Talk 1320, 107.9 FM. It's Unique Real Estate on Sioux Falls Radio, the only show of its kind in the area. This is It's Your Business. Now here's your conductor, the maestro, and your host for the show, Bill Zortman.
Good morning, I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Business. This morning, week six of our affordable healthcare series and business show number 493 this morning. Well, October 1st was the launch date for the Affordable Care Network. Our first show was October 2nd. The plan we had originally was to carry the show for the five Wednesdays in October, all in an informational, non-political format. Well, then came the trouble online. We move into the first week of November for an update with our experts, and the plan now is to go every other week for the rest of the year. Of course, there might be changes to that as well. As far as those people involved with the show, Abby Vanderwerth with Holt McDowell has been meeting with businesses to update them on a regular basis. Lisa Carlson represents Sanford. Becky Olson has been with us from Avera, but today, her boss, Deb Muller, is with us. Both Sanford and Avera sent out packets to those requesting them, and in the past week started getting the letters into mailboxes, and I'm told a lot of those may be arriving today with new standards. Linda Ross has been with us. She's been on the road to Pierre, to Bismarck. She's been in Seattle, San Diego. She has landed. She is the CEO of the Community Healthcare Association of the Dakotas, CHAD. I've got a son named Chad, by the way, which is easy to remember what your title is. She is in our studios today as well. With all that said, let's get into our discussion on the affordable healthcare scenario. Deb, first time with us.
It is. Thanks, Bill, for having me.
From Avera, and we're going to throw you right into it. We closed the show last week with Becky and Lisa talking about letters going out to some of the insureds you have. If you can, please share with us what they're receiving and what you would expect them to do after they receive the letters.
Let's focus on just who's getting these letters. First of all, it's individuals who are getting coverage right now from the individual marketplace. The individual marketplace is those people that go out and purchase individual insurance. And for the most part, we have several hundred letters that are going out here this week and next week that are telling folks that the current plan that they're on does not meet the standards of the Affordable Care Act. So they're going to be receiving these letters indicating that we are transitioning them come January 1st, 2014, to what we call an Affordable Care Act or an ACA compliant plan design. In fact, for us, we're saying that they have to do nothing. We will actually transition them to this new policy come January 1st. However, we're also giving them options to look at in case they want to change their coverage on January 1st to a different level of coverage. If they want to, for instance, be in a silver plan now, we're going to try and match them over to the closest silver plan. But if they want to choose a bronze plan or move up to a gold or a platinum plan, they sure could come January 1. We're also encouraging them because these are going to be richer plan designs that will have a higher premium attached to them. We're encouraging them to go out to the healthcare.gov site either telephonically or through when the system is stable through the online variety, or go through the paper application process to see if they actually participate or can get eligibility for a tax credit, which will reduce the cost of their monthly premium.
All right, so that's the story from Avera. Lisa, what about the Sanford plan?
Yes, we're sending out letters as well. In fact, they probably will hit mailboxes today. We have a large population that are on what's called the non-grandfathered plans, and these were rules set forth by the government in the Affordable Care Act that says that we had to define grandfathered and non-grandfathered according to these rules. So we always knew that plans that were sold after March of 2010 were automatically non-grandfathered. Sanford Health Plan has affected probably about 2,400 households. that will be getting these letters, very similar to all the other insurance companies across the nation. We are sending letters that follow the prescriptive information that the state requires of us, that the feds require of us, basically crosswalking them to a new compliant plan. It's not that these individuals don't like their insurance. They purchase their insurance. They continue to pay premiums. Most of them are quite satisfied with the insurance that they have today. The reality is that what they've purchased does not include all the new required benefits of the Affordable Care Act. A lot of the questions that we're getting right now are, you know, individuals who purchase plans without a maternity benefit, you know, young single males, people that are in their empty nesters, they're 55 and plus, they purchased a plan with no maternity coverage, and that's the plan that works best for them. The letter that they get will tell them they need to pick from a plan that includes maternity coverage, whether they need it or not. And that's, I think, inherently what is unsettling to many of our members, is that they purchased a plan that included what they wanted, and now they're forced to purchase a plan that includes some benefits that they think they do not need.
Abby, you've been on the road. In fact, last week you were between here and Montevideo, Minnesota.
Yeah.
You were actually going to visit with some businesses. You did set up Jeff from Electronic Systems, Inc., who was on the air, and he talked about all the changes, the fact that he'd been studying it for 2+ years, like a lot of businesses. And he said, with all the changes, he doesn't want to provide health care for his 160 employees, but he needs to. And if he doesn't do it, obviously it's going to affect the employees and won't affect how he competes in the marketplace. That's kind of a common story we're hearing about businesses around the country as well. That we're hearing a lot of businesses saying, this is difficult, it's going to cost us more money, we don't know what to do with it. What are businesses telling you?
Yeah, and certainly to Jeff's point, it's changing the landscape of employee benefits. So I don't know if it's necessarily that he absolutely wouldn't want to offer his employees health coverage. It's just that with all the new rules and regulations, they've made it much more difficult to do that. So when you ask what kind of questions I'm getting, certainly my focus has been on what do employers need to do in for 2014 renewal from a plan design standpoint. They have to make some changes to their how their co-pays go towards their out-of-pocket maximum. Do they need to make any changes to their waiting period to be in compliance with the law? They need to look at affordability to gear up for 2015. So they're really trying to be strategic right now. And also look at their competition. What is their competition doing, and how do they stay competitive in the marketplace to attract and retain good employees?
Linda Ross, CEO of the Community Healthcare Association of the Dakotas, CHAD. Avera and Sanford were asking you last week about community meetings and where are we going with those, particularly with the fact that we may have nothing really helping us as far as online from the Gov until November the 30th. So what are you going to tell people? And I know you and I talked just before the show and you had a list of places you were going to be with community meetings. Who should attend the community meetings? What can you tell us about those? And are we just talking supplemental meetings? Or are we talking people that have gotten packets? Who all are we talking about?
Well, good morning, everyone. The meetings that we're focusing on are really community-type meetings to get, and many of them are in rural areas for folks to have access to some information that they might not be able to get. One of the challenges has been, of course, the system, and so many of the community health centers and the navigators and the in-person assisters have not had too many outreach events or community meetings up to this point because they have not been able to help them on the system, the computer system. So they don't want to cause frustration for people, but they do certainly want to be a resource for folks. And so what they are doing is starting to schedule things, certainly helping them through the process with regards to a paper application, giving them the information to call on or go online. Many people are taking the information and going home and working the systems themselves. So we will see more meetings and community events for people to come. Our focus with community health centers are those folks who may not have insurance, presently. So this is a whole new thing for them. So there's a lot of education that we are also doing and trying to debunk the myths that this is a program or an entitlement program. It's actually an option for them and certainly something that they need to be aware of. So there's a lot of education that we're also doing too.
Linda Ross, CEO of the Community Health Care Association of the Dakotas. Now, you were in state meetings in Pierre and in Bismarck, and then you were on the road to Seattle and San Diego. What's the reaction you got when you got out of the Midwest?
Well, the state meetings we had with our community health center representatives and navigators and our health plans, the folks that are here with us today, and that was a great reception because it provided a lot of information for folks to be able to help consumers. So those were great meetings. The Seattle-San Diego meetings were meetings with organizations like mine, primary care associations across the country, where we come together and basically talk about our issues with regards to community health centers and public health issues. And outreach and enrollment and healthcare.gov, this whole issue was, of course, an important one. We did have representation from Health Resources Services Administration at both meetings, who gave us updates about the website and what's been going on. And, you know, they're assuring us that it's being worked on and the system should be up and running by end of November, and encouraging people to call the main number on healthcare.gov, go on the website to at least get information, do a planned comparison, and look for folks within your area to help you, because there are lots of organizations that are available to provide assistance.
Affordable health care. We don't know what that exactly means. We'll try to find out in the next 30 to 40 minutes, find out the most asked questions they're getting, and maybe get you some information that will help you with your health care planning as you finish 2014. It's all a part of It's Your Business on this Wednesday. Each of you in our first segment talked a little bit about the topics with the letters going out, about the community meetings that you have been at, and, of course, with Abby on the road, with businesses that are involved. So we're trying to paint a wide swath today, but we want to get to the most asked question and the most confusion that each of you have. So, Abby, we'll start with you.
Well, I'm getting asked a multitude of different questions right now because everybody's in a little different boat. So I deal, primarily with large groups and a little bit with small groups. And I think the large group most asked question is, how do I plan for 2014 and get my plan to a compliance standpoint as of right now in preparing for 2015 affordability? We've been doing a lot of spreadsheets, a lot of calculations for our large groups. And then just reminders of what needs to go out. So these summary of benefits of coverage that we had before, what's changed on them? What do I need to get to my employees? I need to notify them if I'm grandfathered or non-grandfathered. And then the small group, we're still working with some of them. Is it smarter for me to renew in December or to renew in January? And what are the differences going from an underwritten plan to a non-underwritten plan? So it's really on a case-by-case basis, the questions that we're getting, but certainly a lot of them.
Lisa Carlson from Sanford, same question. Most asked question you've got, and how do you try to answer some of those very much asked questions?
Well, the biggest question we have is, why do I have to switch my plans, and why are my premiums changing? And really, under the old rules, the insurance companies in the individual market could really decide who they accepted and for insurance. And that was based on individual health questions. So if you were healthy, you got a cheap premium, you got a good policy. But if you were sick, you would be rated up, you would be charged more, or the insurance companies had the right to exclude certain health conditions. Well, as of January 1, the rules have changed. And it really does, it's based on the concept of an insurance pool, where you need both healthy people in the pool, you need sick people in the pool. But the reality is that insurance companies can no longer base a premium on someone's health condition. So the reality of that is individuals who are healthy now will be paying a little bit more, but individuals who were maybe older and less healthy, some of them will actually experience a decrease. So the new rules of how we price an insurance product is really based on an average of everyone's health status rather than your health status. And so, again, that seems to be upsetting to those individuals who perhaps had lower premiums because they were the healthy individuals. But the flip side of that is you had many, many sick people who were paying a larger fee and or not getting coverage for some of their health conditions because they were sick. And so now we're really averaging that out under the new rules of healthcare reform.
All right, Deb Muller from Avera. Most asked question, and how the heck you're answering them.
When's the healthcare.gov site going to be really up and running?
and how do you answer that?
Well, we say we don't know, quite honestly, when it's going to be stable, especially with these letters that are going on out. People want to see if they're going to be eligible for a tax credit. And the only place that you can do that is with healthcare.gov. So we're starting to encourage people to call and to do it the old-fashioned way of doing it by paper. Which is not the most efficient, but at least we know that they're going to have coverage that's in place in January 1st. I mean, the most important part here is to make sure that people who want coverage can get coverage January 1st and they don't experience a lapse in coverage.
Linda Ross is with CHAD, the Community Healthcare Association. You get questions every place, but now that you're back in South Dakota, North Dakota territory, what questions are you anticipating?
Well, we're getting a lot of questions about people's individual circumstances. So people are trying to address that because they're not quite clear on what it really means based on their particular circumstance. But I think the biggest thing that we are hearing is, and this is my paraphrase, but what's up with this Obamacare? What is it? And we're trying to make sure that folks understand it's the Affordable Care Act, that it's not a government program or entitlement program, because we're getting from our community health center standpoint a lot of confusion with entitlement. Is it a welfare program? Is it free? Do I have to pay for this?
And you tell them.
Yes, you do have to pay for it, depending on your circumstance. Everyone's circumstance is going to be different. So you have to, we're here to help you to figure out what your particular circumstance is within that system. But it's not free care. It's not an entitlement program. It's law. And we like to prefer to call it the Affordable Care Act. And it is law. And we want people to understand that. It's not something that we're really giving, that you have a choice. It is the law of the land, whether people agree with it or not. So there's a lot of confusion with that.
The community meetings themselves, one of the concerns I would have is with all the talk, the political talk, with people not understanding it, not being able to communicate, do whatever, I'm not sure I would go out to a community meeting.
And we get that, and that's part of our frustration, because one of the things as an organization or a person who has really been hired or who is there to assist folks, you want to make it as easy as possible. So you don't want someone, especially in a rural area, to have to come back several times to go through this process. That's frustrating, and no one's going to do that, and we recognize that. So that is part of the reason why there haven't been a lot of community meetings, because we can't help them through the entire process. So we are very anxious for when the system will be up so that that can really start to take place and actually help people physically with a computer through that system. So
we've got the experts here. They're gathering. It's another Wednesday, and Kathleen Sebelius is being grilled on stage about what they're doing, how they're doing it. And I think you'd a lot rather be here with us today talking to our audience than where Miss Kathleen is in Washington. When we come back, we're going to get into some specifics of the Affordable Care, a.k.a. Obama, what the heck are you doing, that we hear from some people. We'll take that segment after Fox Business News. It comes up on the half hour.